Well, we're glad that you're here today, and we're looking forward to the things coming up here in the fall. In just a couple of days, we're going to start out on Wednesday night with Awana, and teen group are starting back on Wednesday night. Are we excited for that? Yeah, all right. We get to serve, we get to reach out and care for people, and teens and kids get to come and get back started for the fall. So we're excited for that. Been getting geared up the last couple of weeks. And so we're raring and ready to go for that. Like I said, there are several people that are down at the campground in New Hamilton. And if you don't have anything to do and you're like, you know what, I'd like to pop in, you are welcome to do that. It's Indian Branch Campground. I think they charge like $5 or something to be able to come in and hang out, bring something to eat. If you come around dinner time, bring something to eat because we're camping. We don't pack enough. Like, we don't pack an extra freezer full of food. If you've never done a campfire before and you're like, I just want to experience that, Edna, this is for you. So if you want to experience a campfire with people, it's a lot of fun in that you just sit around, you talk, you throw peanuts at each other, or you try not to get burnt with fire or whatever. Last night we were sitting around a campfire and one of the logs, they get air pockets in them, and then when the heat gets to them, it does a pop kind of thing. And one of them popped, and an ember flew off, and Kathy Bickle was sitting in a chair about 5 feet away, flew off and landed on her shirt. And we laughed, and she jumped, and she's like, ah, you know, and it was all good. I can pick on her because she's not here today. Next week, you can let her know, hey, Pastor was being mean, talking about you, and anyway. And so it's a lot of fun just to relax and have some fun, talk about different things around the campfire. And I'm bringing a guitar down. Johnny has his guitar, and Noah's down there with bongos and stuff, so we're just going to hang out and have a good time tonight. So if you want to shoot down, you're welcome to do that and just hang out with us. There's a lake there you can go swimming in, and there's restrooms there, so there's no porta potties. There's the real thing, so just to let you know. So anyway, that's what's going on today. We're glad you're here. Kids, guess what? It's time to go down for Kids Church. You ready? You ready? Ready, ready? All right, let's do it. Kids Church is for kids up to sixth grade, and they get to have a lesson time that is appropriate for their age group. And so that's why we do what we do here. I like to teach and preach at a level that adults can get and teens can get. And if this is your first time, I know we have several people that is your first time here. We're glad you're here. I'm the pastor of the church, Pastor Bill. The last month of August, I basically was not preaching, which was the oddest thing for me. I wasn't sure what to do, but I knew that that's what God had for us. And so what we did was we went through the five epic experiences, and that was basically going off of a series of messages through the book of Ephesians where God wants to make a change in our life and do some epic changes there. And so what we decided to do is our leadership team took a 1 week each, and they preached through their story of what God had done in their life. And so I took that time to be able to do some refueling and to study a lot more, and read several books while I was not preaching, and spent a lot of time with my family. We went up to the Poconos for a little over a week, and just had a good time there together. And so we're back. I'm excited, looking forward to what God has in store for us for the fall. And so today I want to do a summary, basically, and conclusion of the five epic experiences, because I think as I was listening to each one, and I wasn't here for two of the Sundays, so I got to listen online, which is great. We have an awesome website that has the messages online for us to be able to listen to when we can't make it. And certainly life happens at times. You go on vacation and there's sickness and different things coming up that comes up. And so we have that opportunity there. So I was able to listen in. And last week when I was here, I was listening to Matt speak through his epic experience. And it all just came together as to, wow, look at this. This is so cool. And that's what the message is about today. And let me just review the epic experiences, and you can listen to them online if you haven't listened to them yet. and hopefully you have. But if not, let me just give you the summary, the one phrase summary that they each gave to me. And for me, my epic experience was God took a nobody and made me a somebody. And it wasn't the position of somebody, it's that I know who I am because of what he's done. And to follow up from that message, the reality for my life is I know that God has designed me the way that he's designed me, and I love the way he's made me. 20, 30 years ago, I didn't love it so much because I thought, man, I wish I was different. And God used that to grow me, and I love how God has designed me. He took a nobody, and he made me a somebody. He has designed me exactly the way that I am. And so you can go back, and if you didn't hear, you can listen to the message. Anyway, Jamie, funny, he thought he was a somebody, and God showed him he was a nobody, and God decided to use him. And that's how God worked there. And so that was a great message by Jamie. Randy, as God worked in him, he encouraged, allow yourself to be completely dependent on Jehovah Jireh. Allow yourself to be completely dependent on Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh, I don't want to use words that we don't understand, that you're like, I have no idea what that just means, Jehovah Jireh. That is the God who supplies, the God who provides for us. And he takes us through all kinds of things and provides in very unique ways. Asa preached, God took my useless teapot and made it useful. Now, he's not talking about a yard sale find that he had as a teapot. He's talking about his life. God took his useless teapot and made it useful. And again, if you're like, I have no idea what that means, you have to go back and listen to the whole message. I really don't want to re-preach him this morning. You don't want me to either. Matt, then last week, said, God will use any situation for his glory. God will use any situation for his glory. All of these remind me of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and 21. And if you would like to, you can turn there in your Bible, or, because I'll refer back to it throughout this talk this morning, or you can look on the screen here if you can read it. I don't know if I gave you a big enough font. Can you read that in the back? Some of you can and some of you can't. You're pulling out the binoculars. All right, so anyway, they're going to change it because techie people do that. Hebrews chapter 13, here's what it reminds me of. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So here's a reality. He talks about God, who is the God of peace. God desires peace. Do you realize that? God is the God of peace. He desires peace. He's really designed us for peace, but we've interrupted all of that by saying, yeah, I get that, but I want to do my own thing. If you've been around anyone, have you been around someone that just doesn't want to follow the rules? Anybody? I won't ask for raise a hand that of people that you are that one that doesn't want to follow the rule. Okay, there's a few of you, you're self-incriminating. Okay, we are like that. But God says, wait a second. I've designed you for this, and here's the peaceful way to go about life. And all of us have said, yeah, but I want to try this. We'd all raise our hand. I want to try this. I want to do it my way. And so we call that sin, where we break God's law. We break God's way of doing things. And so we've gone and done our own thing. But God is the God of peace. Now, if I were to ask you this morning, how many of you are sitting there with in total peace? I would imagine that most of you are sitting there saying, yeah, that'd be nice. To have no stress, no worry, no frustration, no problems. I mean, wouldn't that be great? Yeah. God is the God of peace. He desires peace. Then he followed up and it says, he brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. He brought him again. The resurrection. He brought Jesus back from the dead. He's been victorious over death, which is significant, It is amazing that God could bring this one back from life who was tortured and murdered in such a way that no one could survive. And he brings him back and raises him from the dead. And the reality is that's the most epic change of all, isn't it? To see that Jesus was risen from the dead is absolutely the most epic change ever. And to understand then, as the Apostle Paul describes to the church of Corinth, he says that because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have this hope. It's what everything is reliant upon. If Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then we're just going through the motions here and we're just doing a religious deal. God's not interested in a religious deal. What he's interested in is relationship, and that only comes because Jesus Christ has paid for all of the sin of the world through his death, burial, and resurrection. He is greater than all because of that one thing. And so because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, God is then making the initial epic change of salvation in people's lives. And we would look and understand that God's plan is that he sent Jesus because of what mankind did, going back to Adam and Eve, where they sinned against God, they broke God's law, they did it their own way, and because of that, they separated themselves from God. And so God looked at that prior to that, knowing that was going to happen, and had a plan in place that he would send Jesus Christ, his only son, and he would come on this earth, he would live for 33 years, and then he would be crucified, give up his life willingly to pay for all of the sins of the world, so that anyone that believes in Jesus Christ would have everlasting life. They would have hope. They would understand a peace that is not comprehensible. They would understand who God is and his purposes for our lives. And so he died and he was risen again. And so there's the bottom line of our hope. And so people that place their faith in Jesus Christ at that initial step, their life is totally changed. Totally changed. Not a little bit, there's an epic change that happens. I go from lost to found. I go from confused to purpose-filled. I have a total change that happens in my life, and everybody is slightly different there. But it all comes back to what he's done. And then you go down, and it says, he is the shepherd of the sheep by the blood of the eternal covenant. He's a shepherd. He, in verse 21 then, he equips you with everything good that you may do his will. He equips you. Here's the really cool thing. Here's what he does. He gives you the equipment to live life in a way that's pleasing to him. Now, I like football. You know this. I enjoy the Philadelphia Eagles. Their loss this last week has no bearing on the future of the program there, but they did lose, and that's whatever. And interesting thing is, like, he got rid of everybody that played anyway, so I don't understand that. But so here we look at a coach, and here's what the coach does. A coach equips the players. He gives them the shoulder pads, the helmet, and the uniform, and all the other things. Gives them the equipment, gives them the playbook, gives them all the different things so that they can play together. And I don't know if you're a Chip Kelly fan or not. Some of you are and some of you are not. I'll be a Chip Kelly fan when there's a Super Bowl. Fair enough? Okay, so anyway, so here's what a coach does. A coach doesn't just sit back and say, all right, cool, we're together. Hey, listen, I ordered in some ice cream. We're going to hang out, and we just want to go out in the field, have a good time, just relax together. And what do you guys think? Anything you guys want to do? And that wouldn't happen. That wouldn't make for a great football team. And so instead, here's what a coach does. He gives you the equipment to be able to do what is right, to do what it takes to be able to win. There's a coach for you. And so every coach has their approach to different things, but here's what God does. He equips us for life. He gives us the equipment to get through the things that we're going to go through. He gives us the equipment to grow. He gives us the equipment to do his will. That's what he does. It's awesome. He prepares us in that way. And then you go down a little bit further, and it says, he works in us, working in us, that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So he works in us. He makes us. That work is a fascinating thing. In the New Testament, there's several different ways of using this word work. And in this one, it's that he goes and he makes in us a new creation. He works in us to do a transforming work. That's what he's doing. In Philippians, Paul talks about this and he says he energizes us, or he gives us the energy to be able to do what we've been called to do. God does an amazing work in several different ways in our life. And so this is what he's doing in our life. And when I look at the epic experiences, I say, wow, this is cool, because here's what happened with Asa. Here's what happened with Matt and Jamie and all those. And here's what we get. We get that God is doing a work back here in our lives to grow us through these things and into who we are down here. It's awesome. It's like, okay, here's the sign up back here, and here's the boot camp. And it's going to be tough sometimes. Here's what's happening over here. And look at what God has accomplished. Here's the wins, if you will. So here's the application. If you're following along in your notes, I have two things that I see as far as applications. Here's application number one. God's work in our lives is epic. God's work in our lives is epic. He knows what we need and works in our lives to do what is best for us, to know him and to do his will. He knows what is best. He knows what we need. And so he's going to do a work in us to grow us, to be who he wants us to be who what he's designed us, be the way that he's designed for us to be, so that we can follow according to his will, do according to his will. Now, here's the dilemma. You say, I get that. Okay, so he's doing a work. Okay, so here's the dilemma. You ready? We get confused about this. The confusion is, okay, so he's doing a work. Okay. So when I have a good day, God's doing a good work. And when I have a bad day, I'm not sure what's going on. Because let me ask you. Can you say that God's doing a work when you have a bad day? Can you say, man, to God be the glory when I just lost my job? God is great. I want to sing that song that we sang this morning. How great is our God when this person just trashed me and made me look horrible on Facebook or LinkedIn or in front of my boss or in front of my best friend. Can you sing that song? He's more than enough when you fall to sickness that really kind of disables you. Let's just be honest. Can we go there? Are we still going to say, yep, I agree, he's doing a work in me, praise God, he's more than enough, he's got a plan for me, how great is our God, yep, high fives, we got this, God's got me, it's going to be okay. Listen, last time I checked, and we try to be a for real church here, a real group of people that's going through real life, and that's just the way it is, right? Yes? We don't like put this pretense on of a plastic face and plastic clothes and a plastic life of we've got it all together and brother, I'm so glad you're here. We're going to talk about God today. You know, we're not interested in that. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to get together and say, hey, how's your week? It stank. And where's your faith in God? Oh, no, I'm really struggling. Or, you know what? I've had a rotten week or a great week and man, I'll tell you what, I'm on top of the world because we're going to have both sides, but we're going to be honest. Yes? All right, cool. This is great. This is my dream come true for a church. Do you realize that? This was my dream years ago that we would get to a place that we are today, and we're continuing to grow in this. Now, God does a work in us that's epic. It's a transformational change. Now, here's the reality. Here's what God does. His work is all about transformation, not affirmation. Do you follow that? Affirmation is for me to come over to Jamie and to say, Jamie, man, you look really nice in that yellow shirt and that tie that matches so well. I affirm that you look good in that. Now, I wouldn't do that to guys. I'm just doing that for illustration. Like, guys don't do that. We're like, girls, they dress for each other. Guys don't. They just get dressed because it's better than not, you know? And so it's totally different. But you affirm other people. And, hey, how you doing today? Or look at the car. Or look at it. And you affirm what's going on in people's lives. And really, that's what we often want, isn't it? I want you to affirm me in where I'm at. When I'm having a rough day, here's what I want from you. I want you to affirm that my day is rough. Matter of fact, I really am not interested in the, you know this guy, Juan Up on You? You know? I'm not interested in Juan Up on You. You know, the guy that's always like, I've got a bad day, and Juan Up on You has a one up on you. Okay, you get it yet? So, oh, some of you, this is clicking. Okay, good. So I'm not interested in the guy that says to me, yeah, but my day, let me tell you about how bad my day is. Listen, you didn't affirm me in my day by trumping my day, but with your bad day. You follow me? But oftentimes, I'm really only interested in affirmation. Just make me feel normal or good, or make me feel like, yeah, what I just said, wow, yeah, your day is, you have the worst life I've ever seen. I mean, you kind of want that, right? Some of you are like, no, I'm not a whiner. I keep it all to myself. Yeah, whatever, whatever. You eventually talk about it. Let's be honest, okay? God's work is all about transformation, not affirmation. Our culture is all about affirmation. Our culture is about everybody gets a prize, no one goes home a loser. Okay? God is all about transformation. Here's how that looks. you know, one of the things I really enjoy in life is cars. And there's one truck, listen, church, if you ever want to give me like this gift, a Christmas present, that's like the present, you know, I'm just throwing it out there, you know. I know how much you love me. There's a 1954 Ford F-100. Oh, man, it's really nice. So I got a couple pictures of one. See, here's one that was on sale. And obviously, it's light on the front, so it doesn't have an engine in it. You know, you can see the shocks are up a little bit and stuff. So could you see me driving around at this church? Yeah, some of you like the Sanford and Son truck, you know? And some of you don't know what that is. You're just too young. But that's kind of beat up and stuff. And that's, listen, that's a roller. That's, we could do something with that. It's a work in progress. And some of you are like, you know, if my husband ever got that, I would never, ever go anywhere in that. There's no way. And here's the reality. If I pulled up in that, affirmation would say, you'd look at me and say, hey, pastor, with a nice grin, you know? And you put a smile on, that's a really nice truck you got there, right? That's affirmation. Now, some of you, like John, he'd be absolutely true with that. He'd be like, whoa, pop the hood, man, let's take a look. Let's walk around the thing, look underneath, and we'd spend an hour, like, drooling over the truck. Now, if you're not a car guy or girl, okay, you're going to look at that and be like, can you believe that? What kind of dummy gets a truck like that? Now, here's the goal. The goal with something like that, and if I ever got something like that, it'd be awesome, because here's what I would try to do. I would try to turn it into this. Now, if I pulled up in that, what would you think? You'd be like, yeah, there we go. And I would certainly have the performance kind of muffler on there, and you could see the pipes are in front of the wheels. I mean, and it's set just right. I like the flames. It's black and everything. It's that sharp. You agree? You see, here's what I'm trying to get the point across, is God's work in our lives is like this. It's that he wants to take us from the beat-up truck into the new creation. He wants to work in us to do a transformational work. He's not looking to just be affirming in where we were and say, hey, that's great. I see you have this problem and issue. That I know, it's so hard. He's not interested in leaving us there. He's not interested in saying, yeah, I know, you're lost in life. Yeah, you're struggling. You are hopeless right now. Yep, I see that. I affirm where you are. God's not interested in leaving us there. God's work is transformational. It's that he wants to take us from that point where we actually admit, Lord, I'm in trouble here. Have you been there? Have you been at a place where you said, I have nowhere but to look up? I'm empty. I've lost it all. You see, he doesn't want to leave us there. He wants to transform us. So here's what I'm saying. Now, listen real carefully. The job loss, the family struggles, the sickness, the loneliness, and the stress. It allows God to work. It's Labor Day weekend. The greatest laboring that we can ever be excited about is the work that God does in us. It's a laboring that we struggle with. Can we be honest again and say that the labor that God wants to do to bring us from this to this, the labor that God wants to do there is difficult, because here's what we wrestle against. I would prefer to stay like that old truck, wouldn't you? Let's be real. Do you really want God to go in with a sander, to go in with a grinder, to go in with a welder into your life and say, hey, listen, this attitude you got, it's a problem. The way that you're dealing with your finances, yeah, it's an issue. The way that you just spoke to this person, yeah, that you can't. No, that's not going to work here. The way that you're doing this, that doesn't bring about the God of peace in your life. And so God wants to point those things out and say, you've got a flaw here and flaw here. It's not that I don't love you. It's that I love you enough to point out these things and to help you to be able to grow. And so he's going to put us into the factory, into the kind of refinishing work in our lives, where the Holy Spirit is working mightily in us to be able to grow us and to reshape us to become who he wants us to become, so that we can do his will, so that we can be a drivable truck. So often I hear people frustrated with life. People don't typically call a pastor when the day's great. You follow me? Here's when you call the pastor. You call the pastor when someone's died, or when someone's in really bad shape, or when things are going wrong in your life. That's why you call the pastor. You typically don't. Listen, you can feel free to call me when you have a good day. That'd be fine. I'm having the best day ever, pastor. I'd be like, did you get the wrong number? But that's the reality, and you know this. You know, it's good. I love it. But here's what I hear oftentimes. My day, my life stinks because of this circumstance. And if you've called me enough, you know that the road I'm going to travel down is, okay, I can see that. That's hard. Man, that's challenging. So what's God doing? God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan in this situation. And I don't know what it is, because I'm not God. I just know, based on what he's given to us in his word, is that he is working to equip us. He is working in us to change us, to transform us into who he wants us to be. So when we are going through a loss of a job, I was talking to someone this past week that was way high up in their company, made a six-figure income, very well off, that lost their job a couple of years ago. After that point, they've gone to interview after interview all over the country. They've lost everything. Everything. Not a little, not like, they went from having their own place to living with people. Everything. Where's God in that? I could talk to you about the people that I've talked to that have gone through physical things where they've lost physical aspects of their body, that they're like, I what do I do now? I can't see, I can't hear, I can't walk, I can't hardly breathe. Like, I am losing everything. And that's only a couple things, and you could add into it the life that you're living through too, right? So where is God in all of that? You see, while we're busy saying, God, listen, is this your prayer? God, I want your affirmation. God, I just want you to tell me that I'm fine. I just get out of my life and make this okay. I just want my old beat-up truck to run. Just leave me alone. Sometimes that's where we are. It's, God, I want your affirmation. And here's what he's saying to us. He's saying, I love you, And I want you to be transformed to be able to do my will. This is the design in your life, and the God of peace wants for you to be able to enjoy the peaceful life that he's designed for you with all of the sin that's around us and the heartache that's around us. So, guess what? We all need epic changes. We need transformation. We need to go from this to this. And some get really bitter at God when he points out any flaws. Some get bitter at God when he just points out that the engine's not in there. Can I encourage you instead, when you get there, I didn't say if, but when, to turn around and say, God, I'm going to need you to get me through this. Would you transform me? So here's the reality then. Seeing what God has done gives us hope for what is going on. Seeing what God has done gives us hope for what is going on. Do you ever have issues you just can't get over? You ever have issues or struggles that you just, you come to a point where you say, I just can't get over this. I can't get anywhere with this. I'm done. I quit. I'm just going to be status quo. I'm not going any further forward with this. It's just not going to happen. Here's a really cool thing. In the past 5 weeks, 4 weeks really, I've listened to the different guys preach. And here's the one huge takeaway. Seeing what God has done in their life gave me hope for my life and yours too. What that means is, if you can't catch that, when I listened to what God did in Asa and Matt and Randy and Jamie's life, I listened as God did this and brought them from here to here and made this epic change, I realized, again, as I was refreshed by this, that God is still doing a work. It encouraged me, gave me hope for myself in the things that I get stuck in, that I'm like, oh, I don't think I'll ever grow past that. When I'm around people that they've said, look, God's made an epic change in my life, and when I am able to really grab onto that and what God's done, it gives me hope to say, well, I want that. I want an epic change in my life too. I want God to be working in me. I don't want to put the plastic Christian face on and act like I have it all together. I want the real deal of God doing a work in me to transform me instead of just affirming me. It gives me hope, not just with myself, it gives me hope with you as well. That God's not done. He's not done. He's still doing a work in all of our lives. He wants to do this work. So, that's inspired me, that's pushed me, and I hope as well that's pushed you. Let me pull this together a little bit. Life is really filled with a lot of seasons of pain. It just is. We talked about a few, and I could talk about more. We could talk about divorce, we could talk about, I mean, there's so many things you could talk about that just has so much pain and challenge in it. My encouragement, don't lose hope in those times. God's not done yet. He's still working. He's still working. If you've experienced God's work in you, don't keep it to yourself. Fair enough? If you've experienced God's work in you, don't keep it to yourself. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, and you have to understand when you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, it's one letter here and another letter here. So the Apostle Paul, and we get the privilege of reading the letters that he wrote 2,000 years ago to different churches. So he writes this letter, 1 Corinthians, the first letter, and he writes to them, he says, you guys got problems. And he points out the old pickup truck, the old beat-up pickup truck, and he's pointing this out and he says, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong, you're doing this wrong. Look, guys, shape up. This is not pleasing to God. You're not living out the God of peace in your life. You need to change. And so what happens is, historically, as we go back and we research what happened in that church, is they made these changes. They made many changes, and all of a sudden, things turned around. And in 2 Corinthians, not the second, but it's actually the third letter that he sends to them, historically speaking. So he sends this other letter, and he sends it to them. In the very first part of this book, this letter, he says to them, God is the God of all comfort. He comforts us through our tribulation so that we can comfort others who are in distress and tribulation. He lays it out for us and says, hey, listen, you guys, this is so exciting. You've made changes. You've allowed God to do a transformational work in you. When God said, look, this fender's got some dents in it. Yep, you've got some rust over here. Then you allowed for God to do a work in you. And as he convicted you, you began to work hard at making that change. And so you stopped talking so much when you were saying things that were wrong. And you stopped looking at things that you knew that this is going to lead you down a wrong path. You stopped going to places that you knew, I shouldn't be going here. You stop taking your credit card over here and doing. And so God's pointing these things out, and you're saying, okay, I need to make changes for God's glory because he's doing this work in me. And so as I'm doing this, there's this change that happens, and God says, guess what? You are now experiencing God's comfort in your life. So here's what you do with it. You share God's comfort with others. Don't hold it to yourself. Because the worst thing is when you're going through something and you feel all alone while you're going through it. Have you been there? And sometimes, listen, if you're anything like me and I'm anything like you, guess what? Sometimes we put ourselves there, don't we? I don't want to tell anybody about the mess that I'm in. Can you believe how they would look at me? They would never look at me different. And for some people, you're right. They wouldn't look at you. They'd forever hold that over your head. But then there's some other people. And this is the church that I'm dreaming about, that we can talk to each other for real and say, you know what, this is the trouble I'm in. And I know that God is a God of all comfort, but I'm having a hard time seeing it today. And here's the awesome thing. You'll have other people that can say, you know, it was just a few weeks ago, we're sitting in Bible study, and I'm listening to you, and you said, a couple years ago, I didn't know if I was going to live. I went through some physical things that were just, and here's what I heard. God is a God of all comfort, got me through that, and God has given me hope and a new direction today. And when you hear that from each other, when you hear, hey, listen, I know you're going through a lot of pain. Yeah, I went through job loss. Yeah, I lost all this. And yeah, my family was a wreck. And yeah, I had this wreck of a life. And not in a plastic way, but in a real way, with tears in my eyes, I can say, oh man, I've been there. Or, I've never been there before in my life. I'll pray for you. And if there's anything I could do, I'd be there. Or if you've been there, you get it. You can feel the pain instantly. You're like, yep. I get it. I want to be there for you and share with you, give you the encouragement, which is my borrowed hope, my borrowed courage to help you get through. That's where we should be. It's kind of like this. This truck here, isn't it cool? You with me? If I pulled up in that, you wouldn't judge me and be like, we're paying the pastor too much, would you? Okay, good. Shoo, I was just clearing that out, you know? You would expect that if I had a truck like that, that came from the old Sanford and Son truck, you would expect me to pull in the parking lot and drive in the Flowmasters. I mean, you can hear the 8-cylinder coming in, right? All right. So, and you would expect that I would pull in with that, especially on a Sunday morning, and park it in the parking lot where no one else was. And you'd park it and allow everybody else to look at it. You'd expect that every now and again I'd take it to a show and be able to let everybody else just look at it and say, wow, that's a really cool truck. If I parked it in the garage and never let anybody see it, what would the point of that be? Wouldn't that be dumb? I know. Listen, some people do that. They take the car, they leave it in the garage after it's all done, and it never sees the light of day. Matter of fact, nobody else even knows about it. I'm not sure what they're saving it for. You know, Christians could do the same thing. The transformation work that God is doing in us to bring us from the old pickup into the new pickup, if we don't take it out to show, not to say, ooh, look at me, I've arrived, but instead to say, it's worth it. Let God do a work in you. Yeah, it looks like the chips are down, but listen, God's not done. That's his work. Will you submit to him, follow him? It would be dumb for us to park it in the garage and never tell anybody. Yeah, but I might be embarrassed, and what if they think bad of me? They're going through the same thing you are, same thing you went through. It's good. Let God use you to inspire others, because what this does when I look at this, it inspires me. And if I had an old beat-up pickup truck in my driveway, not in a garage, but if I had that there, I would have this picture next to it saying, this is where I want to be. And God uses other people in our lives to be able to encourage us and say, I did this work in them. Would you allow me to do it in you? Let's pray. Lord, thank you that you are not done. Thank you for the labor that you do in our lives today and in every day. And Lord, I pray that we would be willing to simply come to you and allow you to work in us. Lord, I can only imagine there's hesitation in this room. Some that have tried that and said, yeah, I tried, and it just didn't kind of work, and I don't know. Lord, I pray that you'd help to give hope here this morning for those that are discouraged. Lord, I pray that you'd give discernment and direction to those that say, Lord, go, do that work in me. And Lord, I pray that you just continue to bring us into the life that you've chosen for us, that we can see the God of all peace working in an unmistakable way in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray.